You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Tuesday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:50pm with Mick Norton, John Babb and James Millman in the studio. It's Carlisle and Lingfield on Tuesday afternoon. Nottingham and Fosslass will provide the action in the evening. So plenty to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Mr. Gary Capewell. How are you, Gary?
Yeah, not too bad. First weekend I've had off in a wee while, so I enjoyed that over the weekend.
Good.
Spent in the pub and playing golf. So, yeah, all good stuff.
Good stuff. What we'll do is we'll start with a look back at some of the weekend's star performances and then we'll get stuck into Tuesday's action. We're going to go through the questions in the Racing Post's Monday jury. But before we get to that, Mohara doesn't feature in there. So let's talk about his performance. He won the Prix Maurice de Geest over in France on Sunday. The first horse to win three Group 1 sprint races since Deja, which is no mean feat. He's a real cracker, isn't he?
He is. He doesn't do anything, it sounds nothing to say about a horse that keeps winning Group 1s, but he doesn't do anything particularly, especially sprints, but he doesn't do anything particularly quickly. He's more workmanlike rather than the spectacular, but at the end of the day, he still, gets the job done, doesn't he?
He just gutsy, isn't he? He just battles.
Yeah, he just did a bit of a flat spot, didn't he, yesterday? He just battles, as you say, and the sprint cup is an interesting and the Breeders' Cup mile is an intriguing possibility because we know that he handles the ground. He's quick enough around the turns. It was impressive. I mean, he's beaten a horse who's stepping back down in trip in the shape of Esoteric, but you know, let's take nothing away from him. There was a lot to like about the performance, and as I say, it's not very often, as you said, it's not very often a horse wins three Group 1 sprints on the bounce, which he's now done. It gives the Commonwealth Cup a bit of a boost, which I think it's going to need to in years to come, because they were lucky this year. They had a bit of a vintage crop running in it. I don't think that'll be the case always, so it gives that race a bit more credence. And actually, I said that, it might well work on the flip side. Trainers and connections of horses will, the two-year-olds might well aim more towards the sprints rather than the classics, if you like, and might well target that race perhaps instead of going up in trips. So it could actually have the opposite effect as what, of what I thought it might do originally. But good performance.
It was. And despite winning over the sprint distances of late in the top company, Charlie Hill's still talking about him going back up to a mile.
Yeah, which is obviously he came down in trip to run in the Commonwealth Cup. Obviously, he's got the stamina to last a mile, in particular the race that they're talking about, the Reader's Cup mile, which is obviously on the turf. It'll be a race that should really suit him, I would have thought.
Mm.
But yeah, I mean, he's versatile enough to go down that route. One more run here in the Sprint Cup, and then over to the Breeders' Cup mile would probably be the obvious way to go, I would have thought.
Yeah, it was trimmed to 2-1 for the Haydock Sprint Cup on the back of that performance on Sunday, by the way. Let's leave that there anyway. Let's get stuck into the Monday jury. We've got six questions posed in the Racing Post, and Gary will give us his verdict in each of them. Starting with, could you see Rose of Lancaster winner Interlac landing the Champion Stakes?
It's a big leap from the Rose of Lancaster Stakes to the Champion Stakes, but you would have to be impressed with the way that he went through things during that Haydock contest. He's on a steep sort of upward curve, isn't he? And I can see next year, I could see him being even perhaps a little bit better. But all his form of late has come when the ground's been quite quick. Come Champions Day, we've seen in the past, there's no guarantees the ground will be like that. I just have a concern of him on softish ground. Obviously, he's still got to step up and prove himself worthy of that anyway, but he couldn't be failed to be impressed with the way that he went through the race. at Haydock, and be interesting to see if he does go there next, or whether he goes elsewhere. He's another horse that potentially I could actually see ending up at the Breeders' Cup turf. If you're going to go up in grade, might well be, because obviously it's one of the weaker races. The American horses, obviously their turf horses aren't as good as their dirt horses. So that race might well be an end of season target, but take it one race at a time, see how he goes next time first. But you couldn't be impressed with the way they went through that race on Saturday.
Yeah, certainly. Does Sweet Solero winner Blue Bayou have the makings of a classic heroine?
Not just yet. I think she's probably got, for all that, you know, she looks pretty decent and you can't really fault her attitude. I think that I'll be disappointed if there aren't better fillies come May next year. Yeah, how strong the form is open to a little bit of the bait as well. I think we'll maybe learn a little bit more when she tackles some of the better fillies later on in the season. But for the moment, I don't think so, no.
Okay, 25-1, by the way, for Blue Bayou. If anybody fancies her for the 1,000 guineas at this point, talk about the 2,000 guineas as well with regards to the third question. And Phoenix Stakes winner Air Force Blue, New Guinea's favourite, 8-1 at the top of the market with us at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, the Coventry is obviously used as a stepping stone in terms of forming a market for next year's 2,000 guineas. But I know they were very bullish about this horse before he got beat by Burattino in the Coventry. Obviously, he turned that form around yesterday. And he obviously beat the Windsor Castle winner, Washington DC. And I thought he probably won with a little bit up his sleeve. Be interesting to see how these two progress. I'm sure they'll be meeting again before the season is out. But there was a lot to like about that performance. And, I was quite taken with him, the way that he quickened up when needed to, and he wasn't stopping at the line. He wouldn't have thought a mile would even be the limit of his stamina. So a lot to like with him, and we'll see where he goes next. But, yeah, I was quite impressed.
Yeah, impressive performance from the Aidan O'Brien runner over the weekend. Give us a horse to back next time out who has caught your eye.
Fields of Athenry, who I napped when he won at Leopardstown when he bolted upon his penultimate outing. That was enlisted company, and he made short work of a fairly decent field at Leopardstown last Thursday. The Ledger, I think, is probably going to be the long-term aim. He's got an entry in the Ebor. He might also go to we're certainly going to York. He might run in the Great Voltager instead. We'll learn more about him next time out. But really impressed with him. As I say, he's been on my track. I napped him on his penultimate outing when he dotted up. And looking forward to seeing him at York. And should imagine the Ledger is obviously the aim, but I should imagine he'll probably go there on the back of a victory.
Mm. The QE2 was priced up midweek. Where does the early value lie? Well, I'll go through the betting as it stands at the moment. Solo, even money favourite with us at the moment. 3-1 for Glen Eagles. Territories is 5-1. 10-1 for Time Test. 16s for Arod and Esoterique. Caraconti and Knight of Thunder. Antomar also 16-1. 20s or bigger for the others. Can you see past Solo?
Again, it's a long way in advance to be talking about that. I mean, we're talking, 2 months sort of time when this race is going to be run. I think Solo won't mind what the ground does. Whether he's where the value lies is up for debate, but I think the bookies have got this probably right in terms of their pricing at the moment. If the ground was on the quick side, Glen Eagle would have a very, very good chance, but all things considered, so though we know handles Ascot, we know he's a bit more flexible in terms of ground conditions. Probably obviously the likeliest winner. Whether he's value or not at the current price is probably not, because we're not sure of who might even line up in that race yet. But it certainly rates as the most likely winner at this stage. Wouldn't back it at the current price yet, though, albeit we know that we'll definitely run in the race.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be good to see Solo and Glen Eagles face off in there. But as you mentioned, for Glen Eagles, the ground is a big issue. And the Queen Elizabeth II Stakes in October, it's not necessarily always going to be ground to suit the likes of Glen Eagles.
Yeah, very much so. So that has to be sort of factored into your way of thinking. And personally, from my point of view, it makes no appeal in terms of an anti-poster betting medium, particularly now the race is run in October. Obviously, it used to be run in September. So, it's not a race that I'd be looking to get involved anti-post anyway.
All right, final question of this week's Monday Jory. How impressed are you by Silver Saddle winner Sammy Joe Bell?
Yeah, both in and out of the saddle, the way that she conducts herself during interviews, and she's always smiling, whether she's just finished second or whatever, she comes across very, very well, and obviously she's learning at a rapid rate of knots. Albeit she picked up a small band, didn't she, during the Shergar Cup, but I think it has to be considered a positive for the racing game that she's doing so well, and she comes across very, very well. And hopefully this can be the springboard for her to getting a few more rides out of her normal yards. Obviously, she rides a lot for Richard Fahey. And you wouldn't mind betting that she'd come close to becoming champion conditional. Obviously, there's a few other people which will have a say in that. But this year, she's had 24 winners. Need to go down a bit further in the Stobart British Flat Jockeys Championship. But you wouldn't mind betting she'll go close. Obviously, I think there's a few Cam Hardy and a few others that are going to be there or thereabouts with her. But I was impressed with the way that she conducted herself on Saturday.
All right, then that's the Monday jury for another week. Anything else in the news caught your eye, Gary, before we move on?
No, not really.
Good. Let's move on to Tuesday's racing then. Four races coming up, and we'll get Gary's thoughts on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right, we start at Lingfield in their 3:35. This one is a Class 4 handicap over 6 furlongs. It's for 3-year-olds and older, and several of them in the lineup here. 9 to go to post. Gary, Memories Galore arrives in winning form, as does Jubilee Brig. Do you have either of those on your shortlist?
Yeah, and that Memories Galore, when he won, made a winning handicap debut at Wolverhampton. He's gone up a little bit in the weights, but I think there's a lot more to come from this horse. Adam Kirby taking the ride, drawn in 5. Most likely winner for me. I think the other 3-year-old Subversive is interesting as well. Previous course and distance winner. Finished 6th at Wolverhampton a fortnight ago. James Doyle taking the ride for the still banging 4 Mark Johnston yard. And we should also mention Jubilee Brig, who's won 3 times already this year. Winner at Carlisle last week. The ladies' night obviously carries a penalty for that. Megan Nichols takes 7 off. A lot of weight to be carrying, but arrives in good form, so has to be respected. A few of the others are previous course and distance winners, the likes of Rufford and Spellmaker. But I think I have a bit to find with the 3-year-olds. And I think Memories Galore can continue his upward curve and win that 3:35. So Memories Galore will be the selection in that contest.
Memories Galore at Lingfield for Gary then. Moving to Foss Lass for their 7 o'clock next. This one is a Class 4 handicap. It's for 3-year-olds and older. Only 6 of them in the lineup, so whilst it's not high in numbers, not a bad little race this.
No, it's an interesting little race. Unison, a previous course and distance winner. Man of Harlech, who was a good second behind Windy City at Kempton last week. Mini Skirt, who won at Sutherland in February, but a struggle maybe a little bit, certainly in terms of getting ahead in front since, which some of the handicapper might well have her. Tatnea, winner at Newmarket towards the back end of last year. Hasn't really landed a significant blow in 2 handicaps last 2 runs, but they've been of a lot higher quality than this, and she steps down in grade and is very, very interesting. Unison, as I previously mentioned, is a winner here at the past, of course, won this corresponding race last year. Peak Storm, a Chepstow specialist, but has been holding his form remarkably, but I think the up and downs of Chepstow probably will suit a little bit more than Foss Lass. And the horse down at the bottom is very interesting, Murrabate, also who's on my track. He used to be trained in Ireland. Now, there was a horse that the ownership transferred over to Ishmael Mohammed's yard that won at Chepstow last week. Dimar, the name of that horse in question. Murrabit has got a similar sort of profile as Dimar. Did win at Navan in May and then was then second at Down Royal. The cheap pieces go on for the first time. Ishmael Mohammed's yard are in good form. Plenty of positives. I'm going to see what the market makes of him. But actually, I'm going to still stick with Tatnea, who's obviously down in grade for the informed Charlie Hill's team as well. Dane O'Neill taking the ride. And this is a little bit easier than the races that she's been running in her 2 starts this year. So Tatnea in that 7 o'clock.
Moving to the 7:15 at Nottingham next. This one is a Class 3 condition stakes. It's over 5 furlongs. It's for 3-year-olds and older. We'll start here with Desert Law, Gary, who won the Epsom Dash not too long ago. Been running in top handicap sprint company since. This will be a dropping class.
Yeah, potentially. I often find there's not a lot between any of these sort of sprinters. But Desert Law is officially the highest rated at 100, and strictly at the weights is technically the best in. As you point out, won the Dash and was then third subsequently a couple of times. Paul Midgley had a winner in Ireland on Friday night. His horses continue in OK form. Barracuda Boy is obviously another one that's been running in all these big sprint handicaps. Is fairly interesting. We'll find this slightly easier. Duke of Frenzy's never been the easiest. And he hasn't beaten a rival home in all three starts so far this year. Medway's got a lot to do in terms of the figures. Indescribable certainly isn't the most consistent, but capable of bouncing back. Ran one at Glorious Goodwood and finished down the field in a 2 days later under a penalty. And Will Be Me won a couple of times last year. Probably hasn't achieved as much since, but she needs to raise her game a little bit, albeit she doesn't come out too badly at the weights. In fact, I said Desert Law's actually better at the weights. Apologies, Will Be Me is slightly, only a pound better off at the weights, but isn't in as good form, certainly from what we've seen so far this campaign. So Desert Law would be the selection in the 7:15.
Desert Law in the 7:15, then back to Foss Last for their 8 o'clock, and this is a Class 4 handicap over a mile and a half. It's for three-year-olds and older, seven of them to go to post here, Gary, and we'll start with High Admiral, who has only had the two starts, got off the mark in a Newbury maiden at the second time of asking. Can he make a winning handicap debut?
I think he probably can. He's certainly got the least convictions than some of these. I was there at Newbury when this horse won and won that maiden. I think he could be potentially ahead of his mark of 85. Obviously, if he wasn't a three-year-old, he'd have top weight to lumber here. But he obviously gets the three-year-old allowance, even still, withstanding that. Even if he was off top weight, I think I'd probably still have tipped him anyway, because I do think he's ahead of the handicapper. Magical Thomas was the winner at Kempton in June, but was disappointing the run after that, second last time out. Golden Jubilee winner at Wolverhampton last time out, up £4 for that, is the previous course and distance winner, but I think the handicapper probably has him. Felix Fabula was a winner at Salisbury back in June. Hasn't been quite so good the last twice. Swift Cedar was a winner at Haydock in July. Was fourth at Chester, seemingly had no excuses 9 days ago. Two Jabs winner at Beverley earlier on in the season. He's now only a pound above that last mark and ran okay here last time out 12 days ago. So he has to be respected. I think he's probably the danger to High Admiral. Jacob Katz, winner at Kempton, seems best on the all-weather nowadays. Hasn't been as good since. So I'll put the fork in him. So I think this is probably High Admiral's race to lose, and it'd be disappointing if he can't go very close for Andrew Balding and David Provost. So High Admiral in the 8 o'clock.
High Admiral then for Gary there. Let's just have, as usual, a quick summary, if you'll spin us through your selections for Tuesday one more time.
Yeah, in the 3:35 at Lingfield, Memories Galore. In the 7 o'clock at Force Lass, Tacnea. In the 7:15 at Nottingham, Desert Law. And in the 8 o'clock race at Force Lass, we are going for High Admiral.
Good work. Thank you very much, Gary. Good luck and enjoy it on Tuesday.
Thank you very much. We'll do.
So there you go, the thoughts of Gary Capewell on Tuesday's racing. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:50 p.m. Mick Norton, John Babb and James Millman will be the team in the studio. It's Carlisle and Lingfield on Tuesday afternoon, Nottingham and Foss Lass in the evening, so do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast and enjoy Tuesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.